Okay, we're in John chapter 6 as we've been continuing through the Gospel of John. And we come to this story that's so well known in the Scriptures. And yet there's always something to learn from the Word of God. And it's always exciting to open it. I find that I never tire of teaching from God's Word. I know I did this past week. I had Psalm 23 in Shetty Camp and I did Psalm 23 in Inverness. But I was just as happy to do it the next night as I was the day before. And I could teach it again and be full of joy. It's on the website if you want to enjoy it, because it's such a blessing. All of the Word of God is a blessing. It always is. No matter how many times you've heard a verse of Scripture, the Lord, the presence of the Holy Spirit, can take that Scripture and make it fresh in your heart right at that moment. And that's what's so exciting about the Word of God. So after these things, Jesus went over to see Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain and there he sat with his disciples. Now, we can see that John records a few miracles. He doesn't record all of the miracles that were done. The last miracle that we saw recorded was the man who was by the pool of Bethesda. You remember? The guy that was for 38 years laying there. But Jesus was doing all kinds of miracles and all kinds of people were being healed. And what that did is it drew a great multitude of people. Now, sometimes we know that people can follow for the wrong reasons, and we'll find that out a little later on in this chapter, not tonight. But that people will follow for the wrong reasons, and they'll only follow so far. But these signs and wonders were something that Jesus was doing to validate who he was. As we saw in John chapter 5, they bore witness that he was the Son of God. John the Baptist bore witness, the Word of God bore witness, but so did the miracles that he was doing. They were bearing witness. And so the great multitude of people were following him. And as you notice, they crossed over the sea to follow him. They went all the way across the Sea of Tiberias, which was the Sea of Galilee. And now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. So it gives us a little bit of a time frame. And yeah, you might want to change that for me. I don't know why it's not running for me. So Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And so, now here's the crowd. They're following Jesus, and they followed him right across the lake, right into the wilderness, right up onto the top of a mountain. And it may very well be that Jesus was going for a rest. Sometimes he went apart someplace to rest for a while, but sometimes he had no rest. And the crowds followed him. And they went up to the top of the mountain with him. And so when Jesus saw these multitudes coming, he knew something about them. He knew they were hungry. He knew they were hungry. He also knew that there was no place to buy food. This was out on the mountaintop. But he asked Philip a question. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" So what happens here? Why would Jesus ask such a question when he knew there was no bread to be found? He tested Philip. Isn't that what he said? "But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do." Now that tells us something about how God may deal with us. God will put you in impossible situations and challenge you. Does that feel comfortable? No, it doesn't. God will put you in places and in situations where there's just no way that it can happen. Where we're hitting the wall. Where we come to a place where can we supply these people? This multitude of people who were there and who were hungry, Jesus looks at it and he takes advantage of the situation and he says, I'm going to teach the disciples a lesson here. I'm going to show them something about who I am. I'm going to put them in an impossible spot so that they might look and see the one who's able to do the impossible is present with them. And my friends, that's what God wants to do with us. And at times we may wonder, why does he put us in a situation? Why would he put us in a place where we just don't have the supply to meet it? Why would he put us in a situation where it seems impossible for it to be accomplished? so that we might trust him, that we might realize that he is still faithful, that he is still able, and that he is also willing. You see, he already knew what he was going to do. And that's great assurance, great comfort in knowing that. He already knows what's coming, and he already knows, and he already has a plan. Isn't it good to know that? Oh, friends, it's good to know it. It's good to know it when you get news that's devastating, when you're faced with circumstances that are beyond you. I can, you know I've referred to it a few times, but just the fact that with my wife having cancer and what's going to happen next, it's always there underneath, you know. It's always there. I was speaking to a lady today, and very same thing. A lump came out on her neck, and she had liver cancer, and then it grew in the lymph node system, and then they thought they got it all, and then in a very short period of time, it came back with a blast, and now she's going through her last. It's hard to hear that because Marie's doing so well right now. And I'm trusting God for her continued healing and all of that. But at the same time, it's always there. God puts us in impossible places. He puts us in places where we have to trust the Lord. And I can't do anything else but trust God. Can I not? And if the Lord takes her home, I have to trust him with that. And at times I'm so settled about it and everything. But today as I began to talk to this lady, just like I felt a little bit overwhelmed at the thought of losing her. But will the Lord meet me there? If it happens, he absolutely will. I'm asking him for it not to happen. But at the same time, I am going to trust the Lord. I have to cast myself on him. And so must we all. Whatever circumstances you face in the run of a day. Sometimes it is amazing how a small little trial. Boy, I found myself sometimes trusting God for great things and rejoicing in it. And then the next day, some little thing comes along and it just blows me away. Devastates me. Why? I don't know. It's just like not trusting the Lord in that particular situation. I can handle that one. No, you can't. You can't handle anything. But here, Philip was faced with an impossible situation. And so, Philip answered him as best he could. What did Philip do? He looked at the resources that they had. Right? 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may have a little. We don't have the resources. So where did Philip look? He looked at his resources. Where do you look? When you're faced with a situation, do you look and see what you have? You don't have the resources. We don't have the money. We don't have the manpower. We don't have the wherewithal to build churches in Cape Breton Island. We don't have it, right? Look in my pockets. We don't have it. What are we going to do? It seems sometimes we just don't know how we're going to break through the spiritual bondage and the darkness that overshadows people's lives, that keeps them in bondage right into the grave. What can we do with that? Well, we look at ourselves. Should I preach harder? Should I try harder? Does it depend upon me? Absolutely not. It depends on the Spirit of God. Pardon me? Oh, yeah, for sure, Margie. And you, all of us. We are weak. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. It can never be of ourselves. We don't have enough. We are not enough in ourselves. And God wants us to be in places where we're not enough. Where we're not enough to face day-to-day living, face being a mother or a father or whatever it is that we've called to be. And by the way, happy Mother's Day. I almost forgot that. Happy Mother's Day. But oh, let me tell you that God puts us in these places, but he already knows what's coming and he knows what to do about it. Let's learn to trust him. So Philip offered what he had. We got 200 denarii worth of bread. It's not enough to feed this great multitude. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" So Andrew had something to say about it too. He says, "Well, we do have a young boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. So that's not much better. Right? I mean, it's all he's got. Now, we don't know what happened here. Maybe he was near the crowd up in front. All we know, we don't know if the little boy came and offered the lunch Or they went looking to see, has anybody got anything to eat here that we can feed everybody with? And the little boy offered his lunch. We don't know the circumstances surrounding it. But we do know that the question that was asked by Andrew is a right question. What are they among so many? What am I among so many? What are you among so many? What resources do we have? Every resource was scraped up, whether it was the little boy's lunch, and whether it was the 200 denarii worth of bread, whatever the circumstances were, what were they among so many? What could be done with this here? This is all they had. Did you know that in the Old Testament, when Moses was called to go down and take on the Pharaoh of Egypt? Now, the Pharaoh of Egypt was the greatest, most powerful kingdom in the entire world. And God tells Moses, who is 80 years old, living in the backside of the desert, looking after sheep, and all of a sudden he gets a burning bush experience, and God says, I want you to go down and I want you to set my people free. What is he? Well, Moses said, who am I? Who am I, he said. Who am I to go there? And you know what the Lord said to him? Jehovah said to him, what have you got in your hand? Staff. That stick in the hand of Moses ruled Egypt. It ruled Pharaoh. God used the stick to rule Pharaoh. God used that stick to part the Red Sea so they crossed over on dry land. God used water from the rock. That's right. Here is, what is this among so many? A shepherd's staff. The lowest place. Shepherds were considered on the low, low end of the totem pole. Even for Egyptians, it was considered, the shepherds. But yet the Lord uses the small, the weak, the lowly, the insignificant, the things that are nothing. God uses to bring to nothing the things that are something. He does it in His power and in His might. So let us not ever think just in the circumstances or in the way that we look at our resources and we feel like, man, we just can't do this. Don't go there. Yes, let's count our resources. That's what Philip did. He counted his resources. But let's take those resources and put them in the hands of a mighty God. So what did they do? Jesus said, make the people sit down. So he actually takes those loaves and fish. Now, why did he do that? Couldn't Jesus have magically caused everybody to suddenly have a lunch in their hand? Couldn't he have done it that way? Couldn't he just speak and everybody would be full without even having to eat? All of a sudden, their bellies would be full. Could God have done that? But why did he do it this way? Why does he use that little boy's lunch? Well, they would have seen his power if food appeared right in front of their lap, wouldn't they? Okay. The truth is that God wants you to be involved in His work. Does He need you? No. But He chooses to use you in His work. Isn't that amazing? That God would choose to use you and me in His work. That's the heart of God. That's the love of God. That's the mercy of God. Do you remember the story, as we saw in the Gospel of John, when they ran out of wine at the wedding? You remember that story? What did he do? But how did he change the water into wine? What did he do? He asked the servants to fill the water pots. He wanted them involved in the process. Those servants were the ones that got the greatest blessing that day. They will never forget that they were the ones that filled those water pots with wine and as they did, the Lord Jesus turned it into wine. They were involved in the work. That's right. Take away the stone at the time when Lazarus was down. He could have caused them Lazarus to walk out. No, not at the resurrection. Probably could have been angels, but it doesn't say. The stone was rolled. That's all we know there. But when Lazarus was dead, he said, take away the stone. And so God wants to use each one of you particularly. You think, oh, I haven't got much resources. Oh, the little bit that I have, the little bit of knowledge I have, how can God use me? I'm not gifted to speak. Moses wasn't, was he? No. And Moses kept on making excuses, and finally, you know, God got a little ticked with him and said, listen, I'll send whom I send. I've chosen you. Now get out of here. Go. And I'm paraphrasing. But that's his passion, is to use people like you and me. And the weaker the better. So listen, if you feel weak, that's okay. You're qualified. That's okay to be weak. That's what God delights to do. And so it's not by chance or by circumstance that this was a little boy. And it wasn't by circumstance that it was a little boy's lunch, which is all it was, enough lunch for one little boy, that God would feed a multitude from that circumstance. He is testifying and showing not only those disciples, but down through the ages to us, he can use you. He can use you. If he can use a little boy's lunch, he can use you. Trust the Lord. Discover his faithfulness. As Philip was learning here, and so were the disciples, so may we learn that Jesus knows what he's doing. So he says, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And we discovered there was more than 5,000. There was the women and the children, which was probably more like 15,000 or 20,000 people, all fed from a little lunch. That's all. And as he sits down, it says, Jesus took the loaves. Jesus took the loaves. And what does that tell us? He took the loaves. Oh, listen. More than that. Give him yourself. Give him your resources. Little boy with that lunch, what could he do with it? Feed himself. That's all. Couldn't do much with it, right? But somewhere that boy gave it all away. He gave it away. Whatever you give to Jesus, he can multiply. Whatever you surrender to Jesus, he can do something with. Whatever you don't surrender to him stays where it's at. It becomes nothing. It doesn't do anything. But when it comes into the hands of Jesus Christ, oh, my friends, what can he do with you? What can he do with your resources? What can he do? Yes. That's right. And it doesn't accomplish anything. That is where we surrender. How much should we then give? Oh. We should give our minds. We should give our thoughts. We should give our love. We should give our devotion. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Every part of you given to Jesus. Whatever is surrendered into the hands of Jesus becomes the staff that rules over Egypt. It becomes the bread that feeds a multitude. It becomes great things because God is intending to do great things through people like you and me. We live at the end of the earth, Cape Breton. And listen, Dingwall and Cape North is really the end of the earth. But God is still able to powerfully work in this place and from this place, from a heart that is surrendered to him. Yes. Wine and milk without money, without price. He said, there's more than enough abundance in Jesus Christ. Come as you are. Trust him as you are.
I know the onus is on what you're saying, you know, about the patient of bread, the patient of milk. The disciple, what I can't quite get from them, the disciple, how come they didn't come to God? Well, you can do this.
Well, the same reason why you don't have the time and I don't have the time. Because we're too busy looking at our own resources and not at the Lord. God can do anything. We believe he can do anything. But have you worried about anything lately? Have you frustrated over something? Have you become bent out of shape? And then finally you realize you need to come to the Lord with it? Certainly. Oh, of course we have. Yeah, we have. And yet at the same time, we're slow to come, slow to surrender. And you're answering your own question. That's right. And that's what we're like. We tend to hold back. And we think that, you know, what am I among? What is this among so many? What is this philosophy? What am I among so many? What can I do? And all the while God's saying, I can do mighty things through you. Trust me. Be that bread that's willing to say, Lord, take all of me. Please don't hold back. What you hold back, you lose. That's why Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake gains it. Whoever holds on to his life loses it. And that's really a summary of everything in your experience. Give yourself to the Lord. Give your family to the Lord. Give your spouse to the Lord. Give your dreams to the Lord. Give your hopes to the Lord. Give your future to the Lord. Give every moment to the Lord. What you surrender to Him, He will use it. And I don't know how He will use it, but it will be wondrous how He goes about it. You may not see the results of it immediately, but it will happen. Somehow, God will use a surrendered heart. D.L. Moody once said, the world is yet to see what God can do through one person totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. Pardon me? Yeah. And God can use you more than you imagined, more than you've ever dreamed, if you are willing to surrender. It's trusting Him to do something with nothing, with the insignificant, with the small. Trust the Lord. Can I encourage you tonight more than anything? If we got anything out of this message, it's to surrender, surrender, surrender everything to Jesus Christ. When you do not lose. You become a blessing. Now you want to notice here that this blessing went far beyond the little boy. It went far beyond the disciples. He said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men sat down, number about 5,000. We said there could have been 20, 25,000 people there. The blessing went farther than you could ever imagine. And your life surrendered to God, the blessing will go farther than you can ever imagine. It will go farther. And you know, sometimes you don't see the blessing right away. You may not even see the blessing in your lifetime. You may be sharing with one person today who has not trusted Christ as their Savior, and you may die, go to heaven, and not see anything as a result of it. That one person can be brought to faith in Jesus Christ 20, 25 years later, and that person could reach multitudes of people as one person relates to another. Some preacher, does anybody know who was preaching when Billy Graham got saved? Anybody know their name? No? Yeah, you're reading the book, The Story of His Life. But who remembers? Does anybody know his name? But what happens, that one person who preached the gospel and Billy Graham got saved, how many people have gotten saved through Billy Graham's ministry? You can't count them, can you? We have no concept of how many people have been saved under the preaching of Billy Graham. But somebody preached the gospel to Billy Graham. And somebody preached the gospel to the man that Billy Graham preached. I get myself mixed up. Somebody preached the gospel to the preacher who preached to Billy Graham. And somebody preached the gospel to that person. And maybe that one person somewhere in the back of all of that was some little mama who just simply shared with her son about Jesus Christ and they got saved. And that's the only conversion they saw in their whole life. And yet millions were saved because one mama shared the gospel with their son. Do we understand what God can do through one person? It's his Mother's Day, see? I remember, right? Do we understand what God can do through small things? In the Old Testament, it says, do not despise the day of small things. That happened in Ireland, yes. It was to a revival. Yeah.
I'm not done with the Bible reading yet.
Absolutely. He can use all kinds of circumstances. God can use lost people. God can use people who are abrasive to you to refine you. God can use anything He wants to use in your life. The thing is to be surrendered to Him as those things happen. God can use sickness. God can use trouble. God can use anything that happens in your experience. Trust the Lord. Yes? Oh, He does. He absolutely does that. And that's part of the ministry that God has. He uses one another.
Sometimes we'll pray to put somebody else in that person's life.
That's right.
Yeah. To minister to them or to help them.
Mm-hmm. Many times there have been people on the other side of the country that I want the Lord to touch. I can't touch them, but I can say, Lord, put a Christian in their path. Put a word in their path. Put a circumstance in their path. God can use anything at any time. In this case, He takes the loaves. And when He gave thanks, He distributed them to His disciples. And we can see there a pattern and an example. Put it in the hands of Jesus. So Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks and he distributed them to his disciples. And we mustn't forget this. Jesus looked to the Father for the blessings. He looked to the Father for the blessings. Though he was able to do anything himself, he looked to the Father for the blessing. Often when you see Jesus doing great miracles, you'll find him turning to the Father and looking to him. And so if Jesus looked to the Father for the blessing, I think we should too. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It's a good thing to surrender everything to the Lord every day. But to come to him and literally to pray to him, that's what Jesus did here. He gave thanks. And it is a pattern that we find in the Bible. You know, I want to encourage you. If you don't eat your, when you eat your meal, stop and give thanks to God. At least stop and give thanks to God there. It is a good thing to give thanks to God. That's what we see Jesus doing here. And so then he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. No lack of supply. But notice, it all had to go through the hands of Jesus. But not only did it go through the hands of Jesus, it also went through the hands of the disciples, right? He used the disciples. He used the boys' lunch, but he also used the disciples in the process. God has designed that the gospel be spread throughout the world by people like you and me. He uses us to give real bread to the world. The bread of life, Jesus Christ himself. And we discover later on, next time we're together, we'll find out that Jesus says, I am the bread of life. But these things, these lessons teach us the heart of God and the way that God does stuff. And we see that they were given to the disciples, and disciples turned and distributed it to the other ones. As much as they wanted. There was more than enough supply. Oh, let's learn these lessons, begin to live in them, and discover the great supply of a mighty God. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Now you can see here the care that Jesus takes with the things of God, that he doesn't consider them insignificant. Gather up what's left over. Don't waste. Don't throw it away. Don't consider it wasteful. Because God can do anything, and because God has great supply, that doesn't mean that we should be wasteful in what we do, that we have. Deal with it all. Pick it all up. And there's a lesson in it, because they gathered them up and filled how many baskets full? 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which are left over by those who had eaten. Now, what's the significance of 12 baskets? Huh? Overflow? Okay. 12 disciples. 12 baskets. A basket apiece. Huh? They gave it away. Remember, they were busy giving it away, right? As much as they wanted. So, you know, they might have been getting a little hungry themselves. There's the bread, there's fish. Wow, there's a multiplication. It's all happening here. But at the end of the story, there's plenty. Plenty for them. Give it away, friends. Give your life away. Give your heart away. Give your plans away. Give your dreams away. Give yourself completely away to Jesus, and you will find there will be much come back. He will give you much more. Isn't that what it says? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. God is able. God is more than able. And so we see that there were 12 baskets left over. And then those men, when they had seen that Jesus did this, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. So when Jesus perceived they're about to come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. So the people knew that this was, he was miraculous. They knew that he was the prophet that was to come into the world. But they had their own plans. This is the multitude. Their plan was, whoa, we want to make him a king. Why do you think they wanted to make him a king? The miracles? What else? Free bread. Free bread. I'd like to have a king like that. Free bread every day. Oh, we're going to have it made in the shade with this king. Let's get him quick. Let's get him up there. We're going to have free bread. See, they weren't really interested in Christ, and we're going to find that out next week. But what I want to leave you with this week is I want to encourage you, surrender everything into the hands of Jesus every day, every hour, and discover the abundance of living the Christian life, the fullness of what God can do, and the joy of being in the service of the Lord as you give away your very life to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truths that are there for us, Lord. We praise you that these truths do set us free. Lord, forgive us for hoarding to ourselves. Forgive us for not surrendering, not just our money, Lord, but our time and our thoughts and our lips. Forgive us, Lord, for gossip. Forgive us, Lord, for hard talk. Forgive us, Lord, for, Lord, not letting you have your whole way in our hearts every day. Teach us the path of surrender. Bring us there and keep us there that we might, Lord, be servants of the Most High and see your abundant work go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.